You are listening to Congregation Bethel of Manhattan, a two testament conservative style synagogue, serving Manhattan since 1993. Visit us on the web at bethelnyc.org.
This week's message is entitled The Way of Wisdom. Abba, we just lift up this time to you. We pray that your word would go forth and really enter our hearts and open up our minds and allow us to see, allow us to understand, allow us to really have what you would have for us so we can leave here knowing that you are guiding our steps. And we just lift it before you, Lord God. This is of you, this is for you, this is by you, and we thank you for the opportunity to study your word in Yeshua's name. Amen. So Parashat Devarim, which means words, the beginning passage begins, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel." And as I mentioned, Moses proceeds to describe what's happened the last 40 years, which I'm not going to do, because we have spent weeks now walking through the desert with our people, and it's been a long journey. It has been a very long journey. So why is Moses starting off this parasha with this? If you read it, he goes through it all, what's happened the last 40 years. And he is he's talking to this new generation of people. These people didn't hear the words of God spoken at Mount Sinai. They didn't experience the miracles of the Exodus. They were leaving the wilderness and about to enter the promised land, and Moses is trying to impart wisdom. And I've been thinking about wisdom. And first I thought, well, what is it really? I mean, really, what is this thing we call wisdom that we strive for, we need, we think we want? When I came to this verse that I just read, "You skirted this mountain long enough," and I thought about second chances, I started thinking to myself, what if I could have a few? What would I do different? And what would make the difference in doing those things different? Is it just more knowledge? Is it greater understanding of certain things? And the answer that came to me was, it would be wisdom. Wisdom, I think, would help me. If one thing I thought of is, there are seasons in my life that I look back upon and I think, I wish I could have enjoyed that time more. Or I wish I could have been more at peace during that season. I wish I didn't have quite as much anxiety then. And when I think about what I could have done differently, what I needed was wisdom to know. That's what I needed. I don't think I had that. Because I wasn't able to redirect my ways in such a way that I could enjoy. I could be less anxious. I could have more peace. So, is it really wisdom? I mean, I heard something spoken by a pastor recently. And it went something like this. I'd like to suggest that the reason, he was talking to a congregation of people, not me personally. I'd like to suggest that the reason you have that sick, sinking feeling about your life is because you know you're in a situation that you don't have the wisdom to address it. Is that true? I'm wondering, is that why we find ourselves anxious? Is that why we find ourselves in despair at times, or sad, or hopeless? Is it really that we just don't have the wisdom to know how to deal with what we're in right now? Well, let's test this. What is wisdom, really? According to a definition, and there's several, one I found says, "Wisdom is the ability to think and act utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight." All of them. Not just one, not just two. All of them. However, where do you gain knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, insight? Where do you get all that from? Because I've seen people that have many, if not all, of these, and I don't know that I would describe them as wise. Really. I know some brilliant people. I know people that have gone to school for years. They're doctors, they're PhDs. They have a lot of knowledge. They've worked in places, they've gained experience, they've gained understanding through their experience. Maybe some of them have some common sense. Many of them have insight, but I don't look at them and think, wise. That's a wise person. So what's the difference? Proverbs says this about somebody that has wisdom. The words of his mouth are as deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a gushing spring. What a description of a human being. Who wouldn't want to have such wisdom that could be described like that, right? Who wouldn't want to have more of a grasp on how to navigate like life's greatest difficulties and enjoy life's greatest joys? So I took to the book of Proverbs, which is written by a man that God describes as the wisest of all men for his time. God called King Solomon in 1 Kings wiser than all men and said there would never be anyone like him again. He wrote Proverbs, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and I thought it was worth meditating on wisdom from a man that God called the wisest of all. How did King Solomon get such wisdom? Was he just born with it? Actually, no. We read in 1 Kings that Solomon is really seeking to walk in God's precepts. And in his sleep, God visits him in a dream. And he says, "What shall I give you?" And Solomon's response is, "Lord, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people that I may discern between good and evil." And God is so pleased with him that God says, "Done. In fact, I'm going to give you what you didn't even ask for. I'm giving you riches and honor." With that, Solomon is put to the test the very next day, which for us is the very next chapter. Two harlots show up before him. And one says to him, "I had a child a few days ago, an infant, and another woman had a child as well in my house. And overnight, she rolled over on that child and suffocated the child, and he died. And she took my child and claimed him as hers, but the child is mine." And Solomon says, "Bring me the child and come forth with the other woman." And so they both go to Solomon. And Solomon says, "Get me my sword." And he says, "I'm going to cut this child in half, and you can each have your half." And the one woman that came to him in the first place says, no, Lord, no, let her have the child." And the other woman is like, "So be it. Let it be neither of ours. Cut it in half." And Solomon says, "The child is the woman who would not want that child harmed, because no mother would want her child harmed, cut in half, split." And so he gave that woman the child. Now, where does that wisdom come from? Where does that wisdom come from? What amount of knowledge, understanding, leads someone to be able to make such a decision as that? Proverbs says, you want wisdom? The fear of the Lord or the awe or reverence of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. It says, get wisdom. Get wisdom, get insight, go after it. It says, to get wisdom is better than gold. It's to gain understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. That's how important wisdom is. It's described here as being more important than anything. Our greatest riches. Nothing can replace wisdom. Because in the midst of chaos, tragedy, pain, discomfort, can money get us out? Can experience get us out? Maybe. But what we need, what we desperately need is the Lord. We sang songs today. We sang these songs today. And as I and others looked around and saw each other singing these words, praising, I want to die and let you give your life to me so I can live. Make my life a prayer to you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. How do we get to this? What makes somebody believe this versus not believing this? I will trust in you because that's where trust comes from. Isn't that the difference? Knowing that our trust comes from God. Because if we don't believe that our trust comes from God, where does our trust come from? Where we are held captive to trying to trust into something else that inevitably is going to lead us into a place of emptiness. There is a very well-known theologian. His name is John Piper, and I'm sure many of you have heard of him. He had some thoughts on wisdom that I found very insightful. He put forth some guidelines, and it's not so much a formula. These are some guidelines that I think many, if not most of us, have actually utilized. But maybe we don't recognize that we have and the power of utilizing them in this way. And so I thought this was worth sharing. Because he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not only in the sense that it is the first step in a wise way to live, but also in the sense that all the later characteristics of wisdom flow from the fear of the Lord. That's where it all goes from. Fearing God, revering God, lifting up God, honoring God as God. So how do we get to it? Well, first he says we have to desire it. We have to have a desire for wisdom. It says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4, seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure. We have to recognize where wisdom is found. It's found in the Word of God. Right? Just as we sang, thy word is a lamp unto our feet. Wendy read this verse that he quotes here. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's the way of wisdom, the Word of God. And what does God say? What does God say to those that don't seek his word as wisdom? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He says we have to desire it. We have to recognize that wisdom is found in the word of God. We have to pray. It says in the book of James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Isaiah in this week's Haftorah portion says, come, Come, let us reason together. Let's talk. So we need to desire it. We need to seek wisdom in his word. We need to pray. And this is something that I really can relate to. We need to ponder our own mortality. And in my experience, I don't find many people doing this. Now, I've been very fortunate because I'm in a career where I've been put into situations where I'm with people that are sick. I'm with people that are dying. I'm with families of sick people. I've been with people as they've passed. And most often people have said to me when I've done that work, that must be really sad work. That's usually the first response. And my response back to that is, well, of course it's sad, but I tell you, I have learned more about life through this process than anything anyone possibly could have taught me, because it teaches me to number my days, God's word. And that's what God's word says. Let us know to number our days. There is nothing like thinking about not being here to appreciate being here. There's nothing like appreciating somebody else not being here, knowing that one day they may not. They will not. He concludes with this, and many of us believe this as the most important guideline. He puts it forth as the most important guideline. We need to know Yeshua. The word made flesh, Billy said. Yeshua said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Solomon spoke God's wisdom. Yeshua is the wisdom of God. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. Others have spoken truth. He is the truth. Others have pointed the way of life. He is the way and the life. That's what it says in John chapter 14. Others have given promises, but all promises of God find their yes in him. 2 Corinthians. Others have offered God's forgiveness. Yeshua bought it by his death. In Yeshua are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It says in Colossians. This is the wisdom that brings us peace through tears of joy or sorrow. As we sing, I will trust in you. As we sing, I will love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my strength. As we sing, we draw close to God. We feel his presence because we know that that's where strength comes from. That's where love comes from. That's where joy comes from. That's where wisdom comes from. My wife and I were reading this psalm the other night. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We have set your glory in heaven. How excellent is your name in all of the earth. Why do we say that? Do we sing that and our hearts just leap? Because we know it's true. And why do we know it's true? Because the wisdom of God has given us that. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord God, with such humility, and such boldness because Yeshua, our Messiah, has paved the way for us. We have recognized through your word, through your revelation, that we can have a relation with you, Lord, through what you did, what he took, giving up his life, his blood sacrifice, so we can be free to be in relationship with you, Lord God. And we thank you for that wisdom. We thank you for turning our hearts, Lord God, in such a way that we will never be the same. And it makes us seek you more, Lord God, because we need your wisdom daily. We haven't arrived. We haven't arrived. Even today, as we read in the parasha, our people are preparing to arrive. They haven't yet. And even when they do, it's not going to be just pie in the sky. We need your wisdom, Lord God. And so we lift up our hearts to you, and we pray to you, Lord God, and we seek you, and we digest your word, Lord God. And we ponder our steps and our mortality and all these things, Lord God, so we can gain the wisdom to grow, to live, to be a light. So we lift up this to you with gratitude, Abba. And I just want to ask anyone that may be listening that may be seeking wisdom for any circumstance, I just pray that you would open up your hearts to the one that can provide wisdom that is everlasting. Wisdom that is sure. Wisdom that is true. Wisdom that may not lead you to temporary happiness, but will lead you to eternal life. So I just pray that today would be such a day that all of us would come before you, Lord, with a deep, deep desire to hear, to receive, and to walk in your ways, for that truly is wisdom. We lift all this up to you in the name of your Son, Yeshua. Amen.
Shalom, and thanks for listening. Before we sign off, may we ask you to consider these thoughts also? For 20 years, Bethel has been serving in Manhattan, one of the most financially challenging places in the entire world. If you enjoy and feel nourished by these podcasts, we invite you to partner with us by making a generous one-time or repeating gift through our website, www.bethelnyc.org. It is so very easy to do, and every gift means so much towards reaching and teaching the Jewish population of Manhattan about Yeshua, our Messiah, as well as providing faith community life for those who come to believe. Thank you for whatever you can do, and we hope our podcasts continue to be helpful to you. Shalom.